This is the flow we're doing, and I think we tried it in other shiurim, and it just seems to be working fine. We started out learning Heal the Heart with Emunah V'Tochen, then we went to learning Shaar V'Tochen. Then the beginning of this year, we moved on to Shaar Yichda Maaseh. Remember what it was about? What Yichda Maaseh was about? How do you get to? Yeah, but how do you get to do a mitzvah? Do a mitzvah from Hashem because that's what you for, because Hashem wants you to do it, not for any ulterior reasons. I'm giving you a little bit of a foundational way of thinking, Apitera. So the way we learned, I think everybody here enjoyed it, and it helps us in understanding the B'tochen and the challenge we have in B'tochen, because in trying to achieve doing a mitzvah. Yichud HaMaisa means doing the Maisa for Hashem, not for ulterior motives, not because you want to get something from it, not because but you pasha want to serve Hashem, and that's the greatest connection you can have with Hashem, is, he says over there, there's 10 steps. Remember, he said 10 things, and this, what does he do with it? He says, the first thing you have to do is Emunah. You have to learn the Sefer Koch, is this Chavis HaLavavis is a Sefer that talks about Chavis HaLavavis, and the first thing you have to know is Emunah. And now, what's the 10th one? The 10th one was that any emotion comes to you, any emotion that comes up from your heart, you should take advice from your seichel, of the dusha. Then we went through all the different scenarios that the Yitzhak can throw at you to make things unclear and how to get clarity through your seichel. Now, what's seichel? So I mentioned that in Beis Elikim, that's where he talks about the seichel. And I thought maybe let's spend a few shiurim learning about like, the power of our intellectual power. In other words, how do we bring your intellectual power into Aved Hashem? And then if you look at how he sets up a sefer, actually this shar of Aved Hashem comes before Shaar B'Tochen. So sort of like it's a buildup, right? So you learn Shaar B'Tochen, now you know how to think, and now you realize we have Hashem, you have to have B'Tochen. So we find out that we see that in order to have a healthy emotion, we have to also have our emotions guided or directed by a healthy understanding, which you get from Taylor. So here, let me give you a few pointers. In the beginning of the Sefer, he points out something very, very important. And the importance that in terms of the duties of the heart, if you want to, let's say, if a yid wants to know what to do, he wants to know what to eat. He goes to the shafer, he takes out his shulchan aruch, he knows what to eat. Well, how to keep Shabbos? He goes to shulchan aruch. In the world of doing, he says a lot of ge'onim, the time before him, had already written up the svarim that teach us what to do in action, in speech, and that's done. But he said, I looked around, I don't see anybody writing anything about the leif, but the heart emotions. Now, does Taylor speak about the emotions, right? So the answer is obviously, I think we might, because the Taylor says that we have a chiyuv to av Hashem, we have to Hashem alikach, Hashem alikach atila. You have to have a yira from Hashem. On a base level, it's fear, on a high level, it's awe. But it can't just be ava, because ava makes you feel close and important. And Yira means you realize the greatness of Hashem, you say humility. You now have certain feelings. You can't be jealous. You can't get angry. What do we can tell me? How can Hashem tell not to get angry? I hate that guy. He hurt me, right? How about him? She weighs it to me. I'll never talk to him the rest of my life. How do you command somebody a midah? You command somebody to do something. Hashem can say, do something. Okay, I gotta listen. Do. How can you command me my feelings? How can you my feelings? And what's the answer? The answer is before the pasuk of Ahavta. What's the pasuk before that? Shema Yisrael. So how does that help you? Because Shema Yisrael, Shema means listen and hear. It actually means listen. It means understand. Understand Yidden, that Hashem is the king, Hashem is our God. And Hashem Echad, Hashem is one. When you start understanding the power, the greatness of Hashem with an Emunah, then you can have Ahavta. Then you can have Hashem. How come you won't invite him in? Then you can have Ahavta. So my wife is coming 10 o'clock. So I won't hang around the waist for her. She's supposed to be earlier, but she has mitzvah for him in the family. So the vart is. So this is how he explains it. In order to have the behalf of Baruch Hashem and to have Yid Hashem and understand why you should be male, why you shouldn't get angry, why you shouldn't all these, why you shouldn't be jealous, right? What if I shouldn't be jealous? You can say that because you have it. I don't have it. You're not jealous. Yeah, I don't have. So I'm jealous. Jealousy is a feeling of the heart. Oh, when you have emunah and you understand that the whole world is made by Hashem, Hashem controls everything, and then you look around the world, you see Hashem's goodness in the world, and you realize. So that when you understand what you understand, that's the way your emotions are going to be. You got it? Yeah. Okay. So that's what he says, and this is the point that in order. To that means if there is a if not if when you find a mitzvah in the realm of chavis in the realm of a lev, it has to have three parts in order to have a healthy emotion. It has to have three parts. It's like a string that has three core strands. Doesn't get ripped. Why? What's the three? If I'm only speaking Yaakov, the three is the number because the first thing is. If it's a chayvah, if it's a an emotion that you want to, that yeah, that Hashem tells you supposed to have, you have to have a munah. We have to see how Hashem is good in the world, and that's going to bring you to avodah zarah. The kim, we're going to learn soon inside. That's going to bring you to serving Hashem, and that's going to bring you to having trust in Hashem, and that's going to bring you to want to do mitzvah Hashem properly. Everything feeds up, not feeds. Everything is, but it all starts with seichel. You have to be able to understand it. If you don't understand, you're not going to have that feeling. However, here's the problem, and that's what I want to get out of this class today. What's the problem? The problem is how. Who says my seichel is able to understand it? Teach me how to think. Teach me about it. In other words, if you tell it, if you, so that's why the Abraham gives us the Torah, and Torah gives us. Torah teaches us a healthy way of thinking because there could be a thinking that's corrupt and it's wrong, and can be a thinking which is healthy and emes. That's what it's all about. There's an emesic way of thinking, and then there's a confused way of thinking. If you remember, we learned Shaykh the Maisa that the Yetzirah tries to confuse your clarity in the emes. So why? Because Seichel by itself, on a very basic level, we'll see today why. He can give you three reasons why seichel by itself doesn't work, and that's on page 8, I think. If I got it right, I didn't print it up for them. I'm sorry. In the previous class, it seems like some of the people kept some. I had like 30, and I realized I didn't take it back 30, so I didn't have a chance to print more. So I will read it slowly enough so everybody can catch it. On page, I'm sorry, page 6. So let me just finish what he's saying over there. He's saying that you have, in order to have the healthy emotion, you have to be able to understand what you want to feel. If you want to have Avos Hashem, you have to think about Hashem's greatness. You want to have Yiras Hashem, Hashem's greatness in terms of Hashem's greatness in Avos Hashem, greatness in terms of why I should want to get close to Him, doing His mitzvahs. It's great. Hashem's greatness in terms of being humble. And
Aren't there certain things that are above seichel? Aren't certain things above our seichel can't grasp it? Oh.
In doing, Hashem will tell you, don't eat this food. Don't eat milk or meat. Meat is kosher. Milk is kosher. You can't mix it. Yeah.
People also feel things that are stronger. I mean, people have emotions that are much stronger than their logic.
That's what you're gonna say soon. When we get there. No, she's asking. I remember. We're not talking about like. Of course, Hashem is higher than seichel. And in the world of Emunah, let me give you the. I've shared the story many times. In the place called prison, I was teaching them about the first Shah Yud, about the oneness of Hashem. In this group of people, I think it was between 6 and 8 people there in this little group.
There you get them.
Yeah, there were Yidden there. There were
Was
other
there
Yidden.
all yet in the people? Yeah.
No, we had a little group of Yidden. It started as a small group, but the Yidden that came to the chapel after like 6 years, we turned in from a handful of 6 to like 20 people. So out of the 20 people, I say 6 came Friday night to learn. I learned with them Shai B'Tochen, and then I decided I'm going to learn with them Shai Yichud, I'm teaching by the morning. There was a guy in there. I just want to prove my point. There was a guy over there, and he got a sentence of 3 years. But the sad part of his story was he shouldn't have been there for a day. That's the biggest sad part. But the other sad part was he just married, had a baby at home, and I think his wife was expecting a second baby. And this was a very rough life for him. And as he tells me later, he Baruch Hashem been learning with me, and all that helped him get through. But most important, he went to be a one of these, what do they call it? Not architect that configure things. I just a blueprint guy, you know, guy, the guy,
Engineer.
engineer. but not engineering, build on paper, I guess. I don't know. So he went to Brooklyn College in if everybody knows over here, Brooklyn a little bit. A very, very nice place called Brooklyn College. Very sophisticated people there. And he went to, the reason I'm saying this, because what does blueprints have to do with psychology? Somebody tell me. Nobody can tell. Other than that's a perfect place to get people to feed them ideas that are not Yiddish ideas. And so in his desire to become a get his degree, he had to go to the course. So part of the course was psychiatry, not psychiatry, psychology, whatever, philosophy.
Well-rounded,
Well,
well-rounded.
so they taught him stuff. It seems like this. I didn't know all this. I didn't know this. I find out later, and he tells because I was learning with him in the Shai Yichud, Rabbeinu B'chai explains how a person, of course, able to hide an understanding. We could only understand that he is, not what he is. He spells it out very well. So Hashem is one. So he explains how he can prove Hashem. Logically, Hashem is only one creator. That there is a creator. Hashem is one creator. What one means? Those 3 points. That's all he makes. That's all.
Well,
And
we can understand Hashem in this world, but not exactly what, right? The sake of
we
understanding.
can't we can understand that there is a creator, but Hashem is infinite. We can't understand what the creator is, but we can come to it. Like Avraham Avinu came to realization, he's a creator. Look at the world, he's a creator, right? And there's a few other points he brings out over there. Second thing is that the creator has to be one, and he brings seven logical proofs that the creator can help logically to prove there can only be one, not only one more. Because he wants to knock out those who believe in dual and triple and quadruple, whatever it is, the other people believe in. Okay, number five. I'm learning 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and this guy suddenly gets a very allergic reaction. He did. It was a scene I'll never forget because we're learning. Learning is
Is it for
intellectual,
men?
huh?
Is it for men? Do
Yeah,
you believe?
yeah. But he left prison a much more religious person than he came in. It's a fact. Just about the size of his beard. Now he became he mamish till today, a sweet, sweet guy. And with a very distressed expert, he slams his fist on the table. The table was like a piece of plastic, so the table didn't take it too well. And he became very animated because he just realized by what Rabbi Mechaya spelled something out for him in very clear terms, and he realized he was lied to. He starts explaining, you see, here, and it says they taught me this. I don't want to hear their lies, and I don't want to hear the answer. But he got very, very animated that they lied to him, and he just saw the lie. Imagine you accept a lie, and you go with it for a while, and then suddenly you open your eyes and you see it's a lie. Nobody likes that, right? He didn't like it either.
Oh,
Obviously, it
yeah.
was a turning point, and it seemed it could be. It was about creation. It was a creation, the embassy of creation. I don't remember. I'm not going to try to, even if I did remember, I'm not going to try to explain it. It's a sugya. It's a thing for itself. But I also bring it out in a very logical fashion. So here's how it works. In order to be able to have seichel properly understand things, you have to have emes to teach it to you. Who's going to teach you the emes and seichel? You can have a liar teach emes and seichel because he wants to teach you something, and then you find later he's a liar. Or you can have, that's why it's important to have Torah teach you the emes, because you have to have the seichel. You have to have, yeah. Now, Hashem doesn't want you to be the biggest smarty. Hashem wants you to use whatever seichel Hashem gave you, the capacity you have in the world of intellect that you use for everything else. Allow yourself to understand that part that Hashem is good, that Hashem exists, that Hashem commands us, that Hashem, and that will bring you to the Avos Hashem and to Betochen Hashem. That's basically the power. So you have to use your seichel, but your seichel has to be guided by Torah, because if it's not guided by Torah, you're gonna wind up accepting ideas that are not true. And obviously somewhere down the line it's gonna hit you. And when it hits you will realize that you made a wrong turn somewhere. So if you're lucky like this guy, you can turn around and come back. Some people are not that lucky. And this happens in every part of our life. We open them. So in order to have a healthy Pevis of obviously says you have to have Seichel. By definition, if I am going to teach you an emotion, I have to be able to explain to you why that emotion is correct. And the second of all, I have to tell you, I can't command you to have that emotion. That's the point. But that way of thinking has to be with the way that the Torah teaches it to you, and then the way the pasuk, and that pasuk has to be understood according to the Mesedim, because again the psukim are taken out of context, the psukim are for dreit, So you have to have the pasuk as Hametisha does. So taking that concept, that's what he says in the beginning of his whole sefer. And he starts out, I'm just going to cruise you through over here. On page one, I just saw you long and I want to jump right into the meat of things. On page one, he says that now that we have concluded in the second shah, in the second gate, we logically see that the goodness of Hashem is creation, and Hashem is being very good to us. Oh, so if Hashem is, since Hashem is good to us, now I come to the realization that I have to serve him, because if he's good to me, I have to show by gratitude, not by holding up a sign, I love you, but actually to be good to him also. Okay. So he brings to bring his point, and I'm just gonna go over it briefly. On page one, he says it's accepted that somebody is good to you, but not by mistake. Some people by mistake are good to you. If a person is intentionally good to you, then as much as he's good to you, that's how you reciprocate back to him. That first statement, yeah? Okay. So he tells you, let's choose five examples of where we see someone is good to someone else. And even though in those cases the goodness is intentional, but it's not intentional for the person receiving it. The one giving it also has his own motive for being good. So, for example, he gives five examples. On the bottom of page one, he gives the example of a father to a son, a master to a servant, a wealthy man's beneficence to the poor, to get the reward from Elam Havo, somebody who's good to somebody else to have a good name, and somebody who's good to somebody else because he can't take the pain. You ever see sometimes somebody's really down, really needs a few dollars, you give him a few dollars, not so much that you're such a nice guy, you just can't take part from says, this guy's so much in pain. So you want to take an aspirin, so you give him the dollar. Now you feel better? You give him the dollar. Right? So you intended on giving him a dollar, but you intended to give him a dollar because you just couldn't handle that sight of that thing, so you gave him the money. Well, that's not, and that's not, that doesn't, does that is, so even though you're really doing it because you are helping yourself. If you're giving tzedakah because you want to get a nice Elam Havo, if you're giving tzedakah because you want people to see, oh, my name is on the wall, right? So if you have a servant and you're being nice to your servant, of course, your servant is a piece of property. You better take care of your car, you know, right? And finally, even a father to a child, even a father to a child. A father sees the child as his extension. So to some degree, the father's nice to the child because the child adds something to him. In every one of those cases, however, we still see that Hashem commands us to have kibud aveim. We still have to respect the adon. We still have somebody who helps somebody out and doesn't make a difference. He wants a name on the wall. Doesn't want a name on the wall. He still deserves the honor because he helps you, etc. How much more so, however, if you know the Eibush is giving you good without anything? He doesn't owe you anything. Doesn't have to give it to you. He's not looking for an aspirin. And certainly, besides the fact that look at the difference here is between human beings. Here, David says infinite, he's being nice to you. How much more so when you realize the goodness Hashem is doing for you, then you have to come to the conclusion, you know, I really should serve him. Okay, so that's basically on page one, two, with a few obviously added additional ideas, but I'm gonna move that over to page six.
Even teenagers in this generation
Teach this generation what?
could have this that kind of a
But be
consciousness.
careful on teenagers.
Consciousness, obviously, consciousness to,
What kind of?
to appreciate that you're getting, you know, it's a sign of
Oh,
your appreciation.
so yeah,
You have to
not
start.
appreciation. Yeah,
Or
so
like,
today people thought you come first, self-care, it's about you.
exactly.
But
It's a
that
planetary
obviously,
idea.
oh, so that's what I'm trying to say. This is why your seichel has to be guided by Torah. What do you do when the guy is good to you? So Torah tells you when somebody's good to you, if he was intended to be good to you, even if he had an ulterior motive, you still have to act across a tev. You can't take it, you have to appreciate him, you have to thank him. And in the case of the Eibushter, you have to serve him. That's exactly the point. Okay, so hey, we got it. So if you have the booklet, maybe you two join together. Yeah, because if somebody by mistake drops $100 and didn't know you dropped them, you get a mitzvah, but it's not, you can't say you owe him a favor. He didn't ever want to do any.
Only if they have the intention to.
Yeah. But they'll say about tzedakah, if you lose money and the money helps somebody, you got the midst of tzedakah. But I'll take a second, I'm gonna get coffee. So follow me through. I'd like to finish Perek Aleph and Perek Beis today. And what we're trying, what we want to understand is how our intellect, how to use it properly, and how to use it in a way that's beneficial and a way that's true. And what is next, what he's going to explain is like this: you need both working together. You need to have. If you look in the back of the booklet, you will see I laid out a sort of a summary of actually Perek Gimel. And this is where we're heading to. So if a person is prompted to serve Hashem by Seichel, there are seven advantages by it, to it. But also, but there's also seven advantages by being prompted to serve Hashem by Torah. If you put both of them together, then you have a you become a very healthy individual, because then why? Look, what's the obvious advantage of coming to serve Hashem with your own seichel, your own intellect? What's the obvious advantage? That's who you are. If somebody tells me to do something, and I do it because any of the reasons, that's not me. That's not really me. I mean, it's enough for me to want to do it, but to say that I really am motivated to do that, no. When are you really truly motivated is when you understand that what you're doing, and then you do it. That's really you're doing it. Now, the problem was going to discuss in a second is how do you get to that safe? So what's the advantage of Torah? Torah gives you the clarity of truth. When you know Hashem says to do this, and you do it, you know you're on the right track no matter what. If you do understand, you don't understand. If Hashem told you to do it, you know you're doing the right thing. However, but the Torah, on the other hand, if it forces itself on the person, so then that has that disadvantage. So if you take Seichel and Torah, put it together, it means what Torah teaches you, and you're able to understand as much as you're able to understand. So now you have both beauty. You have both power of both. You have the power of the Torah, and you have the power of your Seichel working together in your service and connection with Hashem.
We always understand.
You can't always, but you can understand. You can. Let me ask you a question. That's a good point you bring up. You have a teacher in a math class, and she gets up and she says, children, I want to teach you math today. 1 + 1 = 2, and 2 + 2 = 4. And the kid picks up his hand and he says, why? And the teacher says, because I said so. And if you want to pass the test, you better say 2 + 2 = 4, because if you say 2 + 2 = 5, you're wrong. You flunk. Is that the way to teach? Why can't you believe the teacher? The teacher wouldn't lie to you, would she?
Yeah,
Because if you can understand it and you're taking it on faith, if you can understand, that's the point. If you can understand, the teacher can explain it, and you're saying, force it, because I said so. So,
No, I'm saying, how could we understand this?
but there are areas of Hashem, sorry, for that's what Hashem says to us, I want you not just to do mitzvahs, I want you to do with Av. I want you to do mitzvahs with Av. As a matter of fact, and when it comes to a personal situation and somebody hurts you, I want you, and he asks you for mechila, I want you to forgive him. I had a whole Shabbos. I had the most nicest kiddush I ever had. There was fireworks going on there because I had Yosef and his revealing of the brothers. So my speech on Shabbos was about mechila, and a few people in the crowd, I guess, who didn't like that idea, or they really hated somebody, or whatever it was, they couldn't say it like that. And they just couldn't eat it. And I understand you're right, but I can't do it. Like, I tried this way, that way, the other way. Couldn't get through. Couldn't get through. When Hashem said to be Meichel, what is he telling you? But see, people are already, that's the point. You have to be willing to allow your Seichel to understand what the Torah teaches you. I can't force you to like the teacher says, I'll explain to you, but after, but listen to me, you take two here, and count them as four. So 2 + 2 = 4. You know, you can logically come to a realization,
How
right?
do you know what when you're supposed to use your cell phone? When it's just demo, like Hashem said.
So they're very simple. Those things which you can understand, you use your Seichel, and those things about Hashem you cannot understand, you use your Emunah.
Yeah, where is it finished? Like, I want to shoot that, like, stop the news.
Emunah Pshuta is there for okay, guys, let's learn inside and get all the answers. I'm not making this is all what he's teaching us. Let me ask you a question. Can you logically explain that there is a creator? Stop saying I'm yeah. How?
Look around the
Look
world.
at world. He's who made the world? So for somebody to say, I have a Emunah Pshuta as a creator, that's good for, let's say, a young child who can think. But if you grow to a point where you can understand things and you say, I just believe there's a God, right? That's wrong, because what you're doing is you're not allowing God to come into you. He's not understanding it yourself, so it doesn't ever become part of you. That's the point here. In other words, if you are yes and no, but the real Mesirah Snap that comes from you, not buying on the Bidazar, is not a Seichel, it's a Emunah. So th th that's what I'm trying to tell you. What we're trying to get with these few classes is to see what seichel is, what teira is, and how they when they work together, you have a very strong foundation how to build your life on. That's the point. That's what he wants to say. So amunda pshuta is good to have when things happen where we don't understand. That's
Wait, and your naman things are seichel sometimes.
Correct. But to say that there is a God, my father, the Vashala, was once in Manhattan. This goes back to the 60s. You guys can't imagine what the 60s looks like because everybody thinks only today there's Nesiyonis. Moluk at Saitan was a, only today, the today generation. We had it so easy. Nobody ever bothered us. We had no Nesiyonis at all. We accepted everything we taught. We never had any challenges. Anyway, he was in Manhattan. And he was, a guy with a beard and a yarmulke and pesach challah was a chiddush. It was a business meeting, and I heard the story from him a few times. And one of the guys there said, "Mr. Rabbi," they're talking about God. So one of these guys, a lot of these guys are heretics, later, sadly, and they had beliefs pushed upon them by goyim, and they turned to my father and said, "You believe in God, Mr. Aaron Rabashkin? You believe in God?" So in his way of saying things, he says, "No." they had the same reaction. He says, "I don't believe in God, I see God. Belief is something you don't see. Belief is something beyond you. I see." So he was referring to that he was running away. And he told him, he said, "I was running away from," as he was, I don't know how old was he? He was Esther Bar Mitzvah, 14, 15 year old boy. No trauma, guys. You know, this guy, his whole life was messed up. He built a big business. So he was running away, and his grandmother was in the his grandmother was too weak to go by foot, so they got a hold of this bad wagon, and they got a hold they traded in something for a three-legged horse or something. And one horse was there, 1 foot didn't work too well, and they're schlepping along in the forest, and the Nazis, they were one day ahead of the Nazis. The Nazis came in to destroy this town level, and they were one day ahead of them. And these Luftwaffe wise guys, Sharim, was sitting there. I just can't imagine a pilot sitting in this plane and looking at a bunch of scrawny guys running down the road, and they start shooting at them. I mean, what are you doing? So this would happen often, you know, because that plane's flying, and they would see these peasants. They weren't wearing yarmulkes with a big sign, the Israeli flag. We're Jewish here, you know. To them, was a bunch of peasants. What are you shooting, killing people? So everybody dove to the sides of the road and into the trees for protection. But my father never wanted to leave his grandmother alone. So he stayed. And bullets, you know, I remember if I'm making this around him, and that one bullet touched him. He said, I believe in God, I saw God. That was his. So to take, you know what I'm saying? You take certain things about Hashem, you say, it's as solid to me as I see a wall. Who created the wall? I can't, you know, the famous story. I've repeated many times. There was a teacher in communist Russia. I asked the kids.
Is he bringing back?
if you can't see it, he wanted to teach his children. Yeah, I'll tell you the story. He came into class one day and he said to his, I'm going to teach you today that the communist routine, that there's no creator, Chas v'Shalom. So he says, everybody see a wall? Yes, there's a wall. Everybody see a window? Yes, there's a window. Everybody see a ceiling? Yes, a ceiling. So he says, "Children, you see, if you see it, it's there. But you don't, you see God?" And they say, "No." So there's no God. So one Jewish kid in the class says, "Teacher, I want to continue the class. What a great class." Yeah, to continue. So everybody see the teacher's hat? Yes, teacher has a hat. Everybody see the teacher's briefcase? Yes. Teacher's desk? Yes. The teacher has a briefcase, a hat, a desk. Does anyone see the teacher's brains? And he said, "No." Ah, teacher has no brains. But what was the point he was saying? It wasn't just a play on words. He was saying something's because okay, you can't see it because that's what it's bigger than seeing. Okay, well, you can see something means it's defined, it's limited into what it is. Your eyes can only grasp gashmius. So this whole people catch a cliche and they get confused for a second, but it's heinohach. A munda pshuta means every it has to have munda pshuta. That's the point because are things that we can't understand, but that we can understand to lay it down. And not understand it. That's why, for example, if somebody, I had a boy come to me and he came to me and he was very confused. His father told me, it's interesting, one of my success stories in helping, he came and he was a boy in class and he was smart, very smart, I don't know if he was smart. Smart enough not to make trouble, but he was always getting into trouble and he started becoming chutzpahdik and doesn't want to learn, not interested. And his father brought him here, there, and the other way. And he tells me he has a lot of questions. And so he brought me to so I can answer the questions. So in talking to Kevin, I want to tell you something. This is very important because I don't know if he fell into any therapist's hands or not. I'm not sure. I don't remember. It could be he did, but it didn't help. Whatever happened over, it didn't help. But for sure not. That's where it came to me. Anyway, but it was really bothering this little boy. And I guess it was bright enough, or maybe he heard his friend speaking. He couldn't get to the foundation of the truth of Torah. What he's doing, is it all real?
They didn't teach it in school, like they just.
That's the point. I'm not trying to. I'm not trying, but that, I mean, they know this is what I'm going to tell you, and it took it. Even why am I a Yid? What am I doing? And now he wasn't rebelling against anything. He just didn't know, and that was affecting the way he's behaving. So all it took was not that he was too young to get into the, but so simple facts like, did you know that we came out of Mitzrayim? We all came, how many people came out of Mitzrayim? It says 6,000 men over 20, and between 20 and 60. So if you make the calculation, man, the woman, and before 20, after 60, you come to a few million people. We all came to Har Sinai, so we all saw the Nisim. And I'm just telling you what it says in the Kuzi. I'm not really, I wasn't my Chachma. I have, that's what Torah is. Torah teaches you. Open those parts of Torah teach you. And I just showed him logically that, listen, it was other religions start out with one person, and that person could be a very, very rich or powerful, show magic, whatever, and they can convince people. But it all starts with one person. He saw, he didn't see whatever happened. He had a dream. Yiddishkeit, on the other hand, happened to reverse. The Eibishter showed himself to the ganze Yiddish nation. The whole Yiddish nation was saying, Har Sinai. We all heard the Nefesh HaMelech. We all, and whatever everybody heard was enough true that the next day they changed their lives. They changed their lives. They started keeping Shabbos, keeping kosher, whatever, the ten difference. So they have people. We didn't, we the Mishnah didn't tell us about the 10 plagues, the 10 Makkos. We saw it. We experienced it. Yiddishkeit is a religion, is a das of experience. We experienced this stuff. It's not that we were told this stuff. We went through Yam Suf. We weren't told about Yam Suf. We all millions of people walked through an ocean with the walls on the side, and we came out, and the Egyptians were drowned, and they saw the Egyptians drowned. So Hashem made sure to make that everybody this experience that they had made it for real.
Right, but we believe in the Torah, and Hashem revealed himself in that generation, in that way.
Okay, so I'm trying to say where it started from. So now you will have to now take it. So how many generations is it from this to that now today?
Someone from Yisrael.
From Yisrael to today. I once heard this Akiva place. It's the question very nicely. If all the men...
You do generations.
Don't ask AI because it wouldn't tell you the truth. It's 40 generations from Mitzrayim to Gemara. No, you do it differently.
That's 2-4.
Okay, if you look at the Mercedes is 40 generations from the system Israel to the finish of the Gemara.
Yeah,
okay, this is an number. I mean, he lists out all the people.
So
from there, if you add another 40 generations, 80 generations, you took 100 to 105 generations. So basically, I list the question differently. If all the mothers and fathers, mothers, brothers, children, the direct descendants of all the families from the beginning of see some time till today would walk into this room. Would they fit? I mean this room, this house. Would they fit? The answer is yes.
Or like one for each generation.
Yeah. That's what I'm trying to tell you. It's not that far back. The problem is one you lose one generation, lost it all.
Right.
But you lose one generation, lost it all. That's the problem.
How many generations?
For it to the Gemara was then you had a few hundred years of the Rishayim, and they have a few hundred years of the Acharyim, and that's it. What do you got? A Goyim, of Goyim, Rishayim,
Like 100
maybe I 80 to 100 generations. So you got?
It was 200 people.
Yeah.
No, 80. No. Parents.
Parents.
So,
Think,
oh, the 200 couple.
You make it sound as it happened a zillion years ago.
Oh,
the dinosaurs were.
No, it's just like in your head, it's a few thousand years ago.
Yeah, but I'm just saying in terms of Mercedes. So we, I'm trying to tell you, and
like,
that.
Mercedes is not so far because.
Yes. So we are living. And here's a. I think I got away from what we're supposed to be learning in the class. I was trying to show you here. I was trying to just show you. I was trying to show you that which there are things you could understand like Pesachim. And when you this little boy, it didn't take a long time. It took maybe 5, 8, 10 times. He became a normal student in class. He finished the year. He didn't give up. He went to camp. He went to yeshiva, and everything was beautiful. And no Xanax and no Banax, and it was all good. And I lived happily ever after. So this is a true story, Anthony. So you have so with to say emunah pshuta is a good thing. Now one more thing about emunah pshuta. I want to tell you this, and this is a straight from a rabbi of Gdamila, as that's out. He says like this. He says emunah pshuta is good if you don't read the New York Times every single day. He said it a little differently. He says you don't have to learn Shaiyichud in Pesalovis if you're not infested with all the garbage that we are. The fact of life is that we are infested with a bunch of bad ideas. If you're not going to fight it back with seichel, here's what's happening. Your seichel understands it one way, and your munah pshuta is contaminated. You know what I'm saying? So the only way you're going to beat it. That's what he says here. You have to learn. If you want to say like you're living in a shtetl, and you don't get involved with the goyishkeit, and you don't listen to all this alternative way of thinking and all this stuff that's coming at us today. Everybody has it. I'm not talking down to anybody because everybody's exposed to it. So then you can argue munah pshuta. But in fact, you tell me one person who listens to a podcast, that listens to any news station, that listens to, watches anything, any Jewish magazine with all of the stuff that's in there, and doesn't get ideas that are not Yiddishkeit.
Even that munah pshuta only comes after certain seichel, like you have to have.
No, so munah pshuta is the foundation. It's the other way around. The foundation munah pshuta. Now you have to take munah pshuta and bring it to seichel.
If there are situations you don't understand, then you don't see
You
it
you
from
you you
understanding.
you can rely you can rely on you can rely on the munah pshuta. You can rely pshuta until you get to seichel. But nothing wrong with the munah pshuta is the rock foundation we all have. Okay, so when somebody gives you, when somebody take, when somebody gets into your head and gives you ideas that are against your emunah pshuta, emunah pshuta just believe. Something goes wrong with the belief that they can give it to you. Small stuff, and he wants something from you, and you have to act a certain way, and you have to live a certain way, and you get into a podcast and challenges all that. So don't you think it's challenging your emunah pshuta? I didn't even listen to that stuff, so I don't know. But I'm told about it, and I was on a podcast myself. What do you know?
It's hard to know like what's really kosher and what's not kosher.
That's the bigger part. So when it comes, so when yes, when so when it comes to food, everybody wants to have the hashe and the yashon and all that stuff. And when it comes to ideas, it's open game. It is,
Really got for you.
take it for what it is. I mean, I'm not.
So like
I better not just
I by miss I by yeah. Jewish podcast is a very, very global statement because it can get you. I can get you. I walked by somebody who's listening to a podcast. A guy picked up in the car Friday, and a guy of perfect Yiddish, and he's on and on. I said, "Shut that thing off!" It just reeked from Letzonos Yiddishkeit. He wasn't making fun of Yiddishkeit, but what he was saying was it was just. I won't be the kid also about because he was in the Yiddish accent, they're making fun of the Yiddish Malbushim.
That's pretty it, right? I'm saying that's it.
And then the guy tells me, yeah, you're right. There's a lot of garbage on. That's how I know. So my point is this, guys. I'm not trying to talk down to them. I'm just trying to say, if you, in fact, that is, and you're trying to get a good handle on the Munna and Betachon, part of the Avodah should be an increased diet of the right way of thinking and a decreased diet of the wrong way of thinking. That's what I'm trying to say. So let's zip through Perek Aleph and Beis because we only have 10 minutes to go. So I guess I'm not going to read it inside either. But I am going to give you an overview. So he says like this in Perek Aleph on bottom. He says, now that I showed you that that the service of Hashem can come because your understanding is there, right? So in the bottom is okay, but let's read it inside. The arousing man to God's service and its various branches are necessary on the following grounds. Okay, so to get to become an Eved Hashem, to have Eved Hashem, this which is the understanding and the faculty of a perception, both instruct the human beings the duty to serve Hashem. A person can understand, and a person as a perception of the world can lead him to want to serve Hashem. But between the time when the benefits that man receives and the time when he is has sufficient intelligence to realize the services he should render in return for them is a long period intervening. So the time when a person is created until he gets the yes, By using your power of the intellect and your power of perception, you can come to realize you should serve Hashem. But the power of intellect and perception comes late in the game. When you're early, you don't have it. So therefore, that's why he says that we need Seichel and Torah. It's one of the reasons you need Torah. So therefore, hence, it is a duty to arouse human beings to the obligations of deeds and inward faith, which makes the service of Hashem complete, so that a human being should not be without religion up to the time that his mental powers have become fully developed. So, yeah, that's what he said. We have to begin with the inward faith, the munah, and then when we have the seichel, then we develop that too. Now, your seichel could be come from two places, and here starts the insight about which seichel you're going to be using. Because remember, you learned the shayich the ma'aseh. That when a temptation arises, you have to use your seichel. Which seichel are you talking about? So one of them is inherent in understanding implanted human faculty of cognition in it from the beginning of his existence. The person has his even his animal soul has a way to understand things. And the second one is acquired through instruction, namely the Torah, which the prophet conveys to human beings so that to teach them the mode of service, which is the duty to render the privilege. So we have two ways of getting it. So why do we need If we are able to come to a realization that we have to serve Hashem with our own seichel, why do we need to have the Torah? So basically, there's three reasons. You think it's in today's day and age when people are increasingly going more and more to ideas created by human beings, their seichel, this becomes very relevant. What is he saying over here? He's saying, yeah, you can't rely on psychology. You can't rely on your own seichel to get you where you want to go. Even if you're trying to come to serve Hashem, you can't use your seichel alone. But for these three reasons, you have to have the input of Torah. You got it? That's what he's saying over here. Because today, when people come to you and say you want to have a healthy nefesh, you have to have seichel. It could even be seichel of a goy. So he says, no, you can't do that because it's going to fail in three different ways. That's what he's telling you. The
Yeah.
first, huh?
The same both happened though.
Yeah, the reason, yeah. First, he says, first, a man is made of diverse entities, nature is conflicting, mutually antagonistic. These are entities that are his soul in his body. So you have to begin with, ask yourself, who am I? A person has a neshama and has a guf. So if he has a neshama and he has a guf, where is his neshama and his guf? So if the guf is pulling him one way and his neshama is not strong enough to overcome it, his seichel from his neshama is going to be squashed. That's the first reason, right? So the creator has implanted in the soul qualities and forces which make him yearn for things. The reason Hashem wants him to yearn for those things, for example, is in order for the people to populate and to be healthy to eat and all those things, a person has to have a natural yearning to eat and eat good food. And have a family, etc. So the use of it, which will promote his physical well-being, so that he will develop vigor and populate the desire about the pleasure that comes to all living creatures, the prophet of the species. Now, so into this physical body, page 8 on top, the creator has also engrafted in the human soul other qualities and forces, which, if he uses them, you'll make him loathe his position in this world and yearn to separate himself from it. This desire for perfect wisdom. Wisdom will try to get a person to stay away from physical things. Physical things are here today, gone tomorrow. Physical pleasures is as long as they last and then it's gone. And if anybody has half a brain, he realizes that it's a much better investment if he uses his wisdom and grows in his wisdom. Since, however, like a person gets old, gets even bottled, but if you have people that are smart, they don't become even bottled, right? Says a person as gets older, he loses his mind, but people that are me to hum, they don't. Since, however, here's the problem. Since, however, the body pleasures come to a man's soul first, already in his early youth, and attachment to them is, from the outset, strong and great and extremely urgent. The male desire for sensual pleasure overcomes his other faculties until it overpowered the intellect for the sake of which man was created. Why was person created? Person was created for his seichel to overcome the physical, right? The seichel ruchni should overcome tzura. The tzura, the ruchni, has to overcome the physical. But here's backwards. So his spiritual sight fails and his conditions of desirable qualities appear. The man, therefore, needs external means. He has to be helped from the outside. Which is by the aid of which he may resist the despicable instinct for animal enjoyments and vitalize the marks of his noble Zadama, the intellect. These aids are the contents of Torah, whereby Hashem, through his messages and prophets, taught his creatures the way to serve him. So the way a person is helped, when a person knows, if a person is just going to rely on his own seichel, then his body and all the things, the physical pleasures, slap him or slap him down, and he won't be able to use his seichel. Seichel will fall short. But however, if a person looks to Torah to help him, so then the Torah will help him. You ever hear the saying, Barasi Yetzahara, Barasi Torah Tavlin? I'm sorry, I heard this, yeah? So that's what he's talking about over here. That means this Yetzahara pulling him, and if a person, so this is the second reason. Secondly, the intellect is a spiritual entity originating in the higher spiritual world. It is a stranger in this world of gross material bodies. So this is a very interesting point here. Intellect, by definition, is a spiritual thing, right? And therefore, it's really a stranger in the world of physical. So it needs, again, it needs help from Teda to heal so that its foundation in this world is first, food gives it strength, physical pleasures and its vigor for the body. About the intellect, because of its a stranger, stands without support or ally, and are all against it. Hence, it follows that it must become weak, that it needs external means to repel the mighty power of the desire and overcome it. So the Torah is, look at the rights over there. The Torah is the remedy for such spiritual maladies and moral diseases.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're looking for the food, it's just right here. But look in the Hebrew on top. And that's why we'll finish with this thought. It's a very powerful thought on the bottom of page 8. This is why Torah prohibits many kinds of food, clothing, and relations, certain acquisitions and practices, all of which strengthen a person's desires. In other words, I say, the neshama is a ruchni zik mitzias. How do you, let's think about this way. A person has a neshama and he has a body. If a person eats food that's good for the body but it's bad for the neshama, it's gonna not allow the neshama to express itself. If a person is gonna do actions that is good for the body and bad for the neshama is gonna get hurt. How do we know what's good for the neshama? So well, that's why he says Teda tells us, interesting, right? You're thinking that food is just a chukah, right? But he's giving you a very big insight. He's saying when Hashem says not eat certain food, because if a Jewish body intakes non-kosher food, so the neshama can't live in such a body. It gets the ugh feeling, you know, like echi or sick. We're not feeling well. Because the neshama, Hashem fuses the neshama with her body. So if the body is a vessel that can contain the neshama healthy, so the neshama can reveal itself. What happens if the goof is eating food that's no good for it? Or wearing clothes that's no good for it, right? If, let's say a person puts on clothes that are the hapachatznias. He's promoting the physical. So that promotion of the physical automatically squashes the neshama. So the person thinks it's gaining something, but in fact, it's actually squashing what it really is. That's what he says over here. Therefore, Hashem prohibits many kinds of food, clothing, and relations. The person says, oh, what's wrong if I marry this person? And the answer is, because if you marry that person, then the neshama is going to be in a prison. It won't be able to express itself. And that will be the biggest pain you can have. So the second reason why we need to have Torah, because you can't rely on your seichel. Seichel is a spiritual thing that's living in the world of physical. You can't relate to it. And Torah is the only one that can tell us how this spiritual being can coexist with this physical being. And finally, the third one is, and that's on page 9, I'll finish up over here, is it's like every muscle. If a muscle you use a lot, it gets stronger. If you use less, it gets weaker. Because we live in the physical world, we're constantly strengthening our muscle of physical. We're eating, we're drinking, we're doing all physical things, and our body and all its needs get stronger, while our neshama gets weaker, weaker, you're not using it. So that's why if you're doing Torah and do mitzvahs, that brings ruchnis into your life, and that keeps your neshama strong.
It makes your
gastrus. No, he's not talking about the guf now. He's talking about the neshama is able to express itself like stronger by doing mitzvahs. You make brachas every morning, or you eat kosher, or you keep Shabbos. What you're doing is you're strengthening the neshama. So what do we have in the whole conversation here today? We have a conversation like this. Hashem wants us to have to follow Torah. Hashem wants us to follow Torah and also bring the Torah as a way to make our seichel healthy. Because seichel by itself can lead us wrong. Seichel by itself can get pulled by the pulls of the physical world that it lives in. Seichel by itself can be hurt. So therefore, Hashem wants, and since Chavis, obviously, we want to come to understand the need for us to serve Hashem, right? So we have the Seichel to serve Hashem. We have the Torah to guide us. We got a healthy emotional base. Okay, any questions? No.
I think
Does
that's
it, okay, huh?
good.
Yeah, think about it. Is it happy? You'll find this maybe next week. We can go to more examples. I have to leave, but I want to put a foundation down. You'll find it in every single situation. I wasn't, maybe I'm not the only guy, but yes, anybody who's in an extreme situation, a situation like prison is the most extreme situation you could be in. I didn't tell you the story. There's somebody I spoke to this week, and she's about to come a Kala. Mazda, yeah? Okay.
About.
About. Because she said yes, and he said yes, and they're about to say yes with everybody, and met them all. She got panicked. Her emotions overwhelmed her. He said, I got everybody's attention now. It's a true story, by the way. What did I say? And you should know, I did nothing getting. I didn't. I'm not the only guy saying, because the problem is a lot of therapists involved also. But I took a shot at it. This as a. What's the problem here? The problem is that she's about to embark on something which actually needs a lot of bitachon, and she suddenly claims that they have these words, right? She's a basket case, and she can't. What she's really describing is her emotions have taken over her being. What does Theta teach us? Your emotions have to be guided by yourself. Simple, simple. No, I keep it simple. Don't get it too complicated. Now, to do that, you have to learn and understand how to do it. But that's the foundation. If you can just get a hold of it, because Esther, why are you having second thoughts? Is he kind? Yes. Yerushalayim, yes. Leiv Teiv, yes. Is he good looking? Yes. Is he the nicest person in the world? I didn't ask that, but probably not. Everybody has it. So has all. Does he care for you? Yes. Then she starts with this philosophy. How do I know if I'll miss him? Do I miss him? You just met him a month ago. How are you going to miss him yet? So I want to ask a better question. And what happens if he said no? Would it bother you? But you couldn't get for a second. There was a calmness, but you couldn't. For whatever reason, there is a focus on what the emotions are saying, rather than focus on what the seichel is saying. Now, here's the point: we're not saying to ignore the emotions. What we're saying is, understand the emotions. Are they correct emotions that should be accepted, or the emotions run crazy? That's the question.
You're saying with this story that if all those points matched up and she had to rely on to just go,
Yeah,
they're like, no fear.
100%. But I don't know if she's listening here now also, so I'll be careful. So, but this can happen. This can happen to anybody.
Such a freak out. Like maybe she's not ready to get married yet.
That's a different
Middle of between 20 and 30. Okay, I'm coming, coming,
Fear is fake evidence appearing real. You get rid of the fear, then if you get rid of the fake evidence, she'll be happy.
You think you would think you would think, but here's my point. I'm trying to say. That's exactly what we're trying to get here. I'm just trying to prove the point. Your person has to become a human being, Adam, not a human being. An Adam is heads on top, his heart's in the middle. His mind is supposed to control his heart. And what we're telling people and all around in the podcast. I just like to laugh a little bit. But what we're telling people is, you listen to your feelings. Your feelings are real. Blah, blah, blah. Okay, so that's what we told you today. Your feelings and your drives and what's going on is way before your seichel. So if you're not going to bring Torah into your seichel, help your seichel along, you'll be finished. I was trying to make a practical application. And this is what you're going to get by learning Torah. What you're getting to learn Torah is to be able to use your brain and your intellect in a way that you can have not just shutting your emotions down, you can have good emotions with a good and healthy intellect. And Dave Shebench, very good to call us. Like a